grand rising kings, queens, gods, goddesses, men, women, peoples. My name is Kimberly Michael Schneider, and I am that white girl. This is my podcast on systematic or institutional racism, oppression, and black liberation. This is just a brief introduction so you understand who I am at least a little bit, and where I'm coming from, how I got to this point. I'm going to start off by saying to each and every one of you that I am totally and completely a white girl. My actual ancestors are German, Irish, and a shitload of Cherokee Native American Indian. So there's no confusion, I'm a white girl. As one of my closest and most honored friend has told me repeatedly, I'm an oxymoron. So when you look at me, you get an impression possibly that I'm this Becky kind of white girl. And I'm not. I may look that way. I may present myself that way. But at the end of the day, that's definitely not who I am. I got a different concept. I got a different insight. I got a different love for black people, for they fight. I will say a few things so that you are not confused by some of the things that I say. I've had multiple conversations with multiple people before I started this podcast about the way I talk and how I see things. And I'm a firm believer in being who you are. It's very hard for me to separate myself from black folks. So I will say black folks and I will say white folks, but you will also hear me say we and our and my, because I feel like we all belong together. And I truly, deeply believe that. I'm not here to fight for every race. That's not my intention. I'm here solely and completely to fight for black folks. For their liberation, for their freedom. Because as far as I'm concerned, black folks ain't free. Civil rights movement didn't do anything but change some laws. It certainly didn't change any mindsets. I grew up in a white environment, racist white environment, I might add. Using the N-word, I'm just gonna be honest and put myself out there today. I grew up with that mentality. My great grandparents owned slaves. I'm certainly not proud of that. But at the end of the day, there's nothing I can do to go back and change any of that part of history. But I can change my children's history, their living history right now, which is what my intention is. I went to private schools. My entire family was white. My entire cultural structure was white. I was raised Catholic. In sixth grade, I went to a public school. My parents were struggling that year. And I had a teacher, and I don't have his permission, so I won't use his name. But he was a big, beautiful, extraordinary black man. And I honestly think he at least in some aspect changed my thought process about some things. Maybe not in that moment, but for me, as much love and adoration that I had for him, I feel like he is who contributed to my change of thought. I went back to actually Catholic schools until ninth grade. I was in a mixed environment for school, but then 10th grade, my school was, I don't know about predominantly black, but I'm going to say predominantly black. It was the, we only had three schools in my hometown, and I went to, the other two schools were predominantly white. So that's why I say that. It was not easy. This was back in the late 80s. And, you know, people were getting their ass kicked for, you know, messing around with brothers. My family was horrific to me when I, you know, when it started getting around. I mean, I certainly didn't make it public on purpose, but I'm from a small town, so it started getting around, and you know, my parents pretty much lost their shit, and so did everybody else in my family. I mean, I literally had ex-boyfriends coming to my house, asking me or telling me, you know, rumor has it that you dating brothers, and you know, I had one dude say, this is what you can do. You can break up with the dude you date and I'll date you. We don't have to do anything, but, you know, I'll get your reputation back in check. Like, this is the mentality of the people and the environment that I came from. So fast forward. I was married. I got divorced to a brother. We had a child. Fast forward. I got involved with a man. We were fake ass married. We weren't really married for 20 years. I had two more children. I raised them as miscegenated, which is what they are. I made them aware, very aware at a young age. Their mama was white, their daddy was black. I also made them aware that society would always forever see them as black children, black women, and then black men, period. Wasn't gonna be any different. There wasn't anything I could do about it at the time, except for acknowledge the truth. You know, I let them know that by law, they were black. On paperwork, they were black. And, but I also kept at the forefront of who they were, that who I was in their life and who their father was. I had people around me that were very strong and knowledgeable. My best friend, again, don't have his permission to speak his name. Is miscegenated, which is where I actually got the term miscegenation from. And he was very clear about who I was to my children and who my ex was to my children as well, too. I was a white woman to them, and he was a black man to them, and they were miscegenated. And that was a completely different segment and a completely different life for them. And so, you know, I fed off his information and his life and, you know, his knowledge the best that I could, and I allowed my children to, you know, of course, you know, interact and speak with him if needed. I just, for the record, right now, I'm kind of doing a backwards, if you will. I'm putting myself out there, and I'm putting myself out there for a reason. First of all, I'm transparent. I am who I am, and I can't be anybody else. The truth that I hold is my truth, and there is no other side of it. It is what it is. It is my life. It is my journey. It's who I am. It's who I become. And I'm proud of this person, and I love this person, and I struggle with this person, and I fight with this person, but she, me, this person is this is my background. This is my story, and it ain't pretty. And so I want everyone to be aware of my background so that you can at least have some idea of this creature, if you will, that I have become, that I have created, and that I continue to create and evolve into. So, I spent 20 years with this man who dehumanized me, who abused me, who tortured me. I hid it from everyone, including our children. I was that ride or die chick. You know, whatever he wanted to do at any given time, you know, I was ready to ride or die. You know, even the last couple of weeks before I left him, I said to him, you know, I will forget everything. Everything you have did, everything you've ever done, everything you have become, I will forget that if you stand up right now and be the king who you were intended to be. I'll let it go. And I'll find a way, you know, to forgive you, and we can move forward and become who we were intended to be for ourselves and for our children. Giving you the shortest version, of course, but it was after I finally left him 3 years ago, and one of our friends on Facebook acknowledged me as a queen. And everything changed. Like literally, my whole life, my whole thought process, everything about me changed. I started researching everything that I could think to research. I mean, it started with Moors. And to this day, I research. I research as much Black history as I can. I research as much anything, really. Anything that comes across, anything that looks insightful, anything that to me is looks like something powerful, something I need to know. I don't know everything, of course. I'm not saying that I do. So I will have people on the podcast. I will have people that will not like me. I will have people who absolutely hate me. I will have people who do not understand or who have no desire to understand who I am and what I'm presenting. There was a time when I thought that I could change white folks' minds. And I've come to the conclusion that that's not feasible. There's several white folks that their sole purpose in life has been to change the mindset of white folks, and it obviously has not worked. I mean, we can look on TV or in the news or, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and we can see each and every day there's nothing different really that's going on than there was going on during the civil rights movement. I mean, Black folks are still getting lynched. Black folks are still getting murdered. Black folks are still getting mistreated. They're still getting kicked out of places. The police called on them. I mean, there's nothing different other than there's no movement right now. That's it. And that movement, honestly, the civil rights movement, okay, great, so the laws are what they are. But now it's time for Black liberation. There is and needs to be right now in this moment a Black liberation movement, which there is. I mean, there is just not enough people understand or know or, you know, can accept what's happening. I'm not here to go over each individual act that is happening right now currently. I'm not necessarily going to pull up each and every Black man that is murdered, or, you know, each and every Black representative that is voted in, or every representative that is sticking up for Black folks. What I'm here for is to acknowledge and to create a dialogue about institutional racism, systematic racism, and oppression, and about the programming generationally that has affected the mindset of white and Black folks. And since I'm not going to be able, or at least my belief is that I'm not going to be able to change the minds of white folks, I'm not going to. With that being said, let me squeeze this in real quick. One of the main reasons why I'm not in the business of changing white folks' mind is because I know in my heart of hearts, and I'm going to be very blunt at times, and by the way, I curse. I'm going to be very, very, very open and honest with you from a white perspective. And that is, white folks ain't ever going to do nothing for Black folks. They're not ever going to, reparations, that's just a word to calm Black folks down. It's just a word to give you false hope. There is never going to be reparations. And if there is, it's not going to be a cash handout. It's not going to increase your wealth. It's not going to increase abundance for you. It is not going to do anything for you or generationally. And let's just be clear. Even if they were, let's say reparations are passed and they start handing out money to Black folks. What amount of money, okay, could they possibly give you to say to you, you know, we sorry that we gutted, raped, spit, drug, hung, beat, dehumanized, degraded, demoralized your grandparents, great-grandparents, your cousins, your uncles, your aunties? Like, what money could they give you that would make that okay? None. Not to me. So there's no point in me changing the mindset of white folks, because they're not going to step up. They're not going to organize. They're not going to make change. There is no reason for them to do so. The white privilege that they carry is exactly what it is, and they're going to keep carrying it even if they ain't aware of it. In my eyes, white privilege only exists in their eyes. It is just a word and an instance that we've created to not justify, but that just states what really is the mindset, and it's really a hidden mindset. There is no such thing as white privilege in the sense of the word. White people don't have privilege per se, but it is perceived that way. The less that we speak that, the less that it is going to actually be, which is another thing that we can touch on while I'm here. But going back, if I can, when I, quote, woke, became conscious, which is not a gift, I'm just going to be honest, I'm a white girl. And I'm saying woke and conscious because, you know, this is the vocabulary that we carry. This is the vocabulary that we speak. This is how, you know, I identify and who I identify with this type of verbiage. So this is why I speak the way that I speak. It doesn't necessarily that I mean in the depths of my soul each word. I do not like being put in a box. I don't believe in the box. But for the sake of the podcast and the conversation, this is how I speak. So this is a not necessarily a gift for me. White folks sure as hell don't like me because I'm pro-black. They think I hate white folks. Black folks don't like me because they don't trust me. And that's cool. I get it. They don't think that I, you know, should be speaking for black folks. They don't think I should have a say in what I'm saying. So I get a lot of hate. I get a lot of accusations. And so since I'm touching on this, let me say this. I get a lot of Becky, sit your ass down. I get a lot of I'm sucking this black so-and-so, and I'm fucking this black so-and-so, and that don't give me no right. Let me just tell y'all real quick, fast and in a hurry. I can't tell you how many names that I have been called. I can't tell you how many times I have been cursed up one side and down the other. My family and my childhood and my ex of 20 years have trained me for whatever y'all got. You want to get on here and call me names? Okay, cool. Call me names. Call me all the names you think you can call me. But I promise you one thing. The three seeds that I birth will never, ever see me give up this fight. They will watch me take my last breath fighting for who they are and what they believe in. They are the sole reason that I take in air every day. They are the sole reason that I am doing what I'm doing, because they belong in this world. I chose them. I created them. I was deliberate with who they were. I diluted my race is what I did. You can call it whatever the fuck you want to call it, but that's what I did, and I'm not ashamed of that. I am ashamed that I co-created an environment that they live in that is disgraceful and humiliating. And even though my daughter hates the word dehumanizing because she said it goes against everything that exists as truth, I understand that, but at the same time, that is what's happening. I love them. I am their mama. In the deepest parts of every bit of the soul that I got, I'm their mama, and I'm going to be their mama, and I am going to do everything in my power. If it is only to have this little bitty baby voice that I got in this universe, then that's what I'm going to use. If this is the only power that I can pull from, then that's what I'm going to pull from. And as their mama, there is nothing that y'all will ever say to me, nothing you could ever bring up, no past that you could ever bring forth, that's going to make me care about continuing. You think I haven't been humiliated? You think I haven't been embarrassed? You think I don't do the same things you do? You think I haven't lived the same life? I lived in poverty for 20 years with my ex. I witnessed racial injustice at every level that I could tell you for him, for my children. I have been thrown out of hotels. I have been racially profiled myself because of choosing him. I have been dogged and humiliated. I mean, there is just nothing that you can present to me. So if that's your intention, once you see this, once you listen to this, and once you watch my blog and watch my page, if your intention is to come on here and humiliate me and embarrass me, you know what? Feel free. But let me say, I'm not going back and forth with you about who I am and what I'm doing. I'm not going to continue to acknowledge each and every individual that calls me an end lover or that calls me, a black loving whore. I'm not going to do it. You know what I'm saying? Am I screwing black men? Yep. Are you? Yep. Am I engaging with brothers? Yep. Are you? Yep. I am who I am, and I'm doing the same shit y'all doing. I ain't no different. The only difference is the color of my skin. And I said this on every page that I got, and I'm going to say it again. I understand the concept. Muhammad Ali said it about the 10,000 snakes. And what I'm asking you to do is shut the door. Shut it and block out every last snake that is coming at you. Do that. But when I get to that door, I'm going to start talking. And I'm going to scream through that door as loud as I can. My truth. My truth for what it is, for who I am, for what I believe in. I'm going to scream. You stay safe on the other side of that wall or that door, whatever you want to put up, okay? You ain't got to trust me. You don't have to let me into your world. You don't have to let me into your Facebook page. You don't have to let me into your Instagram. You don't have to let me into your home. But just listen to what I got to say. Listen to my insight. Listen to where I came from. Listen to what I went through. Listen to what I'm saying. Because I'm telling you that somewhere my truth should resonate with you. If you are a brother or a sister, it should resonate within your being. And it should create dialogue. That is what I want. That is what I'm looking for. That is my desire, is to create a dialogue in the black community. It doesn't matter what religion that you are. It doesn't matter if you're Christian, if you're Muslim, if you're Islam. I know Muslim's not a religion, so let me back up. If you're Islam, if you're, if you claim to be a more... It doesn't matter to me. That should not be your fight. Your fight should be about your brown skin. That's it. Nothing else. It shouldn't be about, you know, pedophiles and gender and single moms and single fathers. Your fight should be about black liberation at every level that it can be about black liberation. That's what your fight should be about. Everything else needs to be put aside. And it's time to stand for the color of your skin, for the depths of your soul, for who you truly are, for who you have always been. Your ancestors, they didn't die. And we need to stop saying that. They were murdered. Murdered horrifically. To fight and honor who they were. Not just for themselves, but for the generations to follow. And now here we are, generations later, and you got this white girl begging you, talking to you, telling you, and fighting for her children. It is 2019, and I'm fighting for the rights of my children who are grown, who are miscegenated, who are melanated, who are beautiful and magical and brilliant, and every beautiful, brown, magical person that they belong to. I'm fighting for that too, because what makes sense for me to just liberate them? That's not even feasible. It doesn't even make sense. The entire brown population needs to be liberated. And I'm here to let you see beyond each individual situation. I'm here for you to see beyond the arguments on Facebook. I'm here for you to see the systematic racism. I'm here for you to see the actual oppression. I'm here for you to see the history. I'm here for you to see the fight. I'm here for you to see the depths of what is really happening. I'm here to break up the arguments about, you know, I'm less, you know, safe than you are. That's not the case. The division that goes on, the media, it is all part of an institution, of a policy that's been put in place years ago. I'm pretty sure, I have not clarified this, I'm pretty sure my first, very first podcast on actual subject matter with a guest will be next week. I believe that they're going to be on Sundays. I haven't confirmed that yet, but that's what my thought is going to be. And the first thing I think that I'm going to talk about is words and meanings of those words. And I don't know where that'll go. My intentioned guest hasn't confirmed that he can be on the podcast, but when we talk, it is quite a unique conversation, to say the least. So I'm going to end here for now. I appreciate everybody again who took, you know, these 27, 28 minutes to listen to me. I apologize if I said too many ums or if I rambled a little bit. I try to keep myself as focused as possible, but sometimes it tends to be hard. I have so much information in my head, and you know, I continue to add more information, relevant information. So, you know, I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate each and every one of you. And the only thing that I can say to you is just listen. You don't have to embrace me. You don't have to inbox me. You don't even have to love me. But listen. Just listen to my truth and see if it makes sense. Challenge your truth with mine. You know, close your eyes. In the podcast, it's easy. On my live video, it's not, you know. But take away the color of my skin and look at my heart. Look at me for who I am, not for what I am. Do to me exactly what white folks do to you. I said that wrong. Do to me exactly what you asking white folks not to do to you. Take out the color of my skin. Judge me for who I am. Judge me for my heart. Judge me for my fight. Judge me for my life and who I am and what I'm doing right now in this moment. That's all I'm asking you to do. If you could do that, if you can give me that opportunity, we could create change, not necessarily for ourselves, maybe not in our generation, but for our children and our great grandchildren. We can generationally improve the quality of life for our seeds and our seeds and their seeds. You feel me? We can do that. We can do that. We have it in us. We have that power. So again, all I can say is thank you and that I'm grateful. I hope each one of you create greatness, and I believe in each one of you individually and collectively.